Hi, my name is Gargiola and this is my first attempt to record a podcast. In this episode I will describe how I started with computers and what led me to use open source and free software in my life. I started with computers when I was rather young. I was something like 9 or 10 years old and my uncle gave me a Commodore 16K which he had won in a TV show about science and computing and these kind of things in the early 80s. And, well, he gave me this computer, but just a computer without any peripheral, any games, because at that time computers were sold with a set of cassettes with games. So he gave me the computer without any other information than the user manual and a set of magazines that he had compiled during some months, magazines about programming. And at the time, the main way to program a computer was to use BASIC. So I started to playing with this computer, which was plugged into a black and white TV, a spare one which I found at home. And so I started to just copying lines of code from these magazines that my uncle had gave me. I didn't really understand what I was doing. I was just copying things and then running the programs. And since I had no peripheral, I had no way to save, to store my program. So every time I wanted to use a program from the magazine, I had to write it from the beginning to the end, execute it, and then when I stopped the computer, the program went away. So this was my beginning with computing. And then several years after that, maybe a couple of years only after that, the same uncle gave me a ZX Spectrum 48K because he was at the time just buying a PC, the first PC in the whole family. So he gave me the ZX Spectrum 48K with which I used in the same, more or less in the same way that I had been using the Commodore 60K. The difference with this one is that you didn't have to buy a special cassette recorder in order to save your programs. You could plug any kind of cassette recorder, and I started using a very simple Walkman that I had at home. So this time I could store my programs and I started to write more complex programs and even programs imagined by myself. I remember one that I did which was reproducing my handwritten signature on the screen. And the way I did to do that was drawing pixel by pixel on the screen my handwritten signature. In order to be sure that the result was very close to my signature, I started by writing by hand on the screen of the TV that I use as a monitor for the computer. So I spend my time doing this kind of things. And also the ZX Spectrum could be programmed in assembler. I don't really remember how it worked, because when you booted the computer, you what you got was a basic prompt, but I remember that there was a way to program in assembler. So I started programming in assembler also with this computer. And I should say a couple of years after that, the same uncle again convinced my father to buy me a PC. We're talking here about the mid-80s or the end of the 80s. I don't really remember when it was. So I went to the computer store with my uncle. And then at the time, you didn't really buy, a built computer. But you went to the store and you selected the different parts of the computer, and the guy at the store would build the computer for you. So I bought my first PC, which had 512K of RAM, no hard disk, two floppy disks, a monochrome screen, a green screen, I remember. And when I went home with this, and this was completely different, because you couldn't boot the computer just like that. You had to insert a floppy disk on the first floppy unit, boot the computer. This floppy disk would contain your operating system. At the time it was a DOS. I don't know which version it was. And then from then on, you could load programs from floppy disk. So I used to have my operating system on the first floppy, and then use the second floppy to load programs, store programs, and so I continued programming in BASIC, but this time the BASIC was not part of the OS itself as it had been for the ZX Spectrum or for the Commodore. I had to use a BASIC interpreter that I had to load. So then I started to understand that a computer had an operating system and then you could load programs on it. This is a thing that I didn't understand when I was working with the other first two computers. So I started programming in GW BASIC, and through the years I started to upgrade the PC and just continue programming with BASIC, building interesting programs. I remember that I had built a program to guess, so that the user would think of a name of an animal, and then the computer, using very basic if-then questions, would try to guess the animal that the user had thought of. So my uncle told me about this graphical user interface called Windows, and I remember at the time you launched Windows manually from DOS and started working like this, but without really understanding what I was doing. I didn't really have a project to work on. I was at the time 15 years old, 16 years old, so I don't really remember. Then for several years I really more or less stopped using the computer. And then when I was at the university, I started learning Pascal, a little bit of C, then a little bit of C++, but without really understanding. I remember at the time that I would use Turbo Pascal or Turbo C, you know, to build some programs, and well, but without really understanding that there was an OS, there was a compiler, there was all these different parts. Well, I had, let's say, lectures about this kind of thing, so I theoretically understood what it was, but there was a gap between theory and reality. And then when I was in my fourth year at the university, a friend of mine told me about Linux. Linux was this kind of thing that was more or less the same kind of thing that we had on the workstations at the computer lab. We had some Sun workstations at the computer lab at the university, but for me it was two different things. One thing was working at the PC to do some word processing or things like this. Another thing was working with the workstation, which was connected to the network, because at that time, of course, the PCs were not connected to the network. There was no internet at home. So, well, at the time I was living on the campus of the university, and we had Ethernet access. We're connected to the university network from every room on the student dorm. And so there was a group of students who were maintaining this sub network of the university with a Linux server, and they tried to teach people about Linux, about installing Linux and this kind of thing. So I had by the time I think it was a 486 processor on my PC, and I tried to install Linux. So at the time it was Debian. I don't really remember what version it was. I remember you had something like 10 or 15 floppy disks to perform the installation. You started with the boot floppy, and then from then on you started to configure the network and then try to connect to a server in order to download the different packages and build your system, etc. I remember that I spent many nights trying to install this Debian Linux on my PC. Of course, I never got to run X11 on this very low-end PC at the time. But, well, I succeeded to get a terminal, and yes, that I had a Unix on my PC in my dorm next to my bed, so I could play all night long with this kind of things. And actually, I used the PC to telnet to a real Unix workstation and do some work on there. At the time, I was using C++ mainly, and a little bit of LaTeX for word processing. And, well, then I started to work on a PhD, and at the time I bought a brand new PC to work on my PhD, at the beginning of the PhD. And, well, this time it was already a Pentium and with a little bit of RAM, so I decided that I would work full-time on Linux. So I built myself the PC from parts that I bought, and well, I started to try to install this Debian thing again, and well, I had some problems. I think I couldn't even boot the PC using Debian. So I tried something else, and somebody told me about this Red Hat thing, for which you could get a CD and then install from CD. So I did that. It worked, and then well, I started using Red Hat for my PhD, and well, I spent all day long working on my PhD using this Red Hat PC, which actually had all what I needed to do my work. So I won't give details about the contents of my PhD, but I spent most of my time programming in C++, although I tried some other programming languages just for fun during that time. At the time, there was no really difference between work and play, I should say. And well, I stayed on Red Hat for several years, and really I started to understand what free software was, what were the advantages, the freedom that it gives you, and this kind of things. I really became very fond of this. And since then, I have never stopped using free software, and I have had the chance to being able to continue using Linux and free software on my everyday work since then, up until now. And it's been something like 15 years now since I started using Linux. Okay, well, I think I would stop here in terms of my presentation to the audience of the Hacker Public Radio. And well, I hope I will have the time to make some contributions to the network with some other podcasts. And in this podcast, I would like to talk a little bit about programming languages. I like very, very much programming and different programming languages. I wouldn't say I'm a very, very good programmer, but well, I hope from language to language and try different things. And so I have used many different languages, and I would like to talk a little bit about my impressions and what I know about these different languages. I would also talk maybe about Linux distributions, the different distributions that I have tried, and what I like about them, etc. I also have a home server. I have been using this home server like some kind of private cloud for something like 6 months now, so I have a little bit of experience now, and I can maybe give some advice to people thinking about having their own server at home. And well, I can also talk about other small things that I may come across, things about, of course, programming, hacking, free software, etc. Okay, I think that's gonna do it for this introductory episode. If you want to get in touch with me, you can send me an email to gargiola@gargiola.net. Gargiola is spelled as G-A-R-J-O-L-A, G-A-R-J-O-L-A, gargiola@gargiola.net. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.